Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
This week's episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop is dedicated to the memory of Stacey Glanter. Rest in peace, Stack. This one's for you.
Welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 163. Matt, we haven't done the pre-show yet, so I guess I can ask you properly, because I genuinely don't know. We literally just came online. How are you doing, sir? How have you been this week?
It's been a bit of a week, Graham, I'll be brutally honest. It's been a bit of a week. But we're going to plough through it, and we're going to plough through the bad stuff we're not going to talk about right now. Talk about probably more in the pre-show, which you'll have already heard about, actually, listening to this now. So you know why it's not been such a cool week for me. So I'm just rambling at this point. It's been
things will become more clear as time develops.
Absolutely. The in terms of good things, though, Graham, I finished my steps, and I thanks to some amazing, generous people, not least Sting from AEW, I have managed to... I topped over £300, Graham. I doubled my donation target.
Very nice.
That will fund two specialist nurses for one day.
And that's probably about $420 for our American listeners.
Give or take a few bucks and taxes and things like that. I went through hell. I was exhausted. My Achilles had never known pain like it. But at the same time, people going through cancer, they're going through a hell of a lot worse. So I can take a bit of pain and make a bit of money to help try and make their life better.
And I have absolutely nothing to talk about in the pre-show now. But hey, I got the rest of the show.
We got plenty to talk about that on the pre-show, Graham. Don't worry about that at all. But on that note, how has your week been, Graham?
It's, as you said, it has been one of those weeks. I haven't been watching much wrestling this week, but I think I've watched just enough to be able to do this episode. So I suggest we probably crack on a little bit then. So this is part of the show, of course, Matt, where we thank our guests from last week, except we can't do that because what a jerk. He didn't even show up. Anyway, this week's guest was booked when he was part of the Good Bad Wrestling podcast. But because of my ridiculous booking style, that no longer exists. He's now responsible for This Business, a wrestling podcast. John Sargent, happy for you to join us in the Good Cop, Bad Cop studios today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, and I deserve that crack. I am an intelligent man capable of very high levels of stupidity. You went out of your way to ensure that I knew for a fact that we were going to do this on a Saturday, and my stupid brain just told me Sunday for no reason at all. So I owe you both an apology. And I am really, really happy to be here. Super excited. You guys are better humans than I am because I would have told me to kick rocks.
It was a very cheap shot. It's totally understandable.
To be fair, I did tell him to kick rocks. I said, get rid of this guy. Don't have him on ever again. But let me go on his show first and tell him that. Yes, that is bad cop talking, of course. We're very happy to have you, John.
Can I tell you the irony of this? This week, I knew at the start of the week that my wife had to leave work early on Wednesday because she had a meeting. And that meant my youngest son also had to get up ridiculously early. Anyway, fast forward to Tuesday, and he's down the stairs super early. And I'm like, what are you doing down here? Because it's way too early for him. He's like, Mommy's got to go to work too early today. I was like, no, she doesn't. It's on Wednesday. And then I hear the voice from the top of the stairs. It is Wednesday. So, yes.
It happens to the best of us. I will say a good cop moment is the show that you guys ended up doing without me was excellent. Matt, your segment about talking about sexual identity and being cool with yourself and all that sort of thing was phenomenal. I loved it. So the show that you guys ended up producing without my presence was fantastic.
We thankfully had some material prepared, so it kind of worked out well. Now, Matt, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, actually, when we had Dan and Rob on, the fact that their episode had jumped really high on the SoundCloud chart for Visionaries Global Media. Our episode from last week made the chart after 4 days. Now, it might have been earlier. I just happened to log in. I was kind of curious how many people had listened to the last MGB. So we obviously did something right, or perhaps it was just the attention. We announced you were going to be on, John. Perhaps all your listeners were already listening in anticipation. I don't know, but it worked out pretty good.
Probably wasn't the truly genuine human moment that took place. It was probably me.
Now, we want you to... I knew you, first of all, obviously, from Good Bad Wrestling, and that was the thing that got me... I would say, it was the name, first of all, but people know, once I like a podcast, I go on one of those marathon listens, and I think I listened to over a year of your shows in... It was about 10 days. I listened to the first one, I was like, oh, this is great, and then I just went straight through them. Now, I mentioned in the intro, you do have a new podcast, so can you give us a little bit of a feel for that? Tell us kind of when it comes out, where we can find it, what it's all about, and all those good things.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, to touch on what you were saying, Good Bad Wrestling was so much fun. It was really just something that me and my tag team partner / best friend did to fill time. And we just riffed on the bad stuff in wrestling, which we knew was an infinite pool. Unfortunately, he has a job that took him away from what we were doing. And then I moved to another state, which left me in a place where I don't really know anybody yet, and I don't have too much community just yet. So, and it also coincides with AEW really stoking the fires for me in wrestling again. And so I sit around thinking about wrestling 24 hours a day, and my girlfriend has had it with me. So I needed somewhere to put these thoughts. I needed somewhere to take the stuff that bounces around in my head. So that's where this business came up. And I also purchased some recording equipment to have better audio quality and things like that. So this business is kind of a sports talk approach to pro wrestling, where I'm not really interested in the blow for blow. I'm not really interested in the wins and losses. I'm more interested in the bigger picture of the business itself, the health of the business, what things that happen on a weekly or show basis, how they affect the bigger picture. What is it going to look like when this domino hits that domino? Things like that. I've got segments where I do like a stock report, where I kind of give you an individual or a company, tell you buy, sell, or hold, things like that. So it's just more of a traditional professional sports talk approach to talking about wrestling, rather than, you know, mostly what you get is people complaining that, you know, Roman Reigns wins too much or whatever. And it's available pretty much everywhere. So your normal places, Apple, Spotify, Google, all that kind of stuff. And it drops every Monday.
If I can get it on Overcast, there is no excuse for everybody else.
Right. Exactly.
We actually got a shout out, Matt, on the last episode as well. There's the piece at the end. There's like the recommendations. And we got a little mention in there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I do a recommendation at the end of every episode. I do love your guys' show. Since we talked, whatever that was, a year ago, I've been listening to your guys' show fairly regularly, and I am a consumer, not just a guest.
Matt, you're overcome with emotion almost.
Well, to be fair, the kind words that John said there about the segment I did the last week about identity and everything, that means so much to me. That you've had it enjoyable, interesting, informative. It means so much to me. Someone who flies that rainbow flag very high and very proudly, thank you so much. It also means a lot when people say that they listen to a show and they love the show. But I do hate the word consumer fan. I hate that word so much. You're not a customer. I hate it. Consumer fairs are customers. I'm sorry. No.
I mean consumer in the way that one would consume Oreos. I mean, you have to purchase them first. Excellent.
How do you do that?
Okay, but thank you. Again, great to be on here. It's a true good cop moment. Perfect lead in to some good cop moments, Graham, don't you?
Sounds about right to me.
Good! Bad!
All right, guests always get to go first. John, what do you want to share with us? What was your main good cop moment of the week?
Okay, so I'm a long-winded bastard, so I'm going to give you a little bit of setup for this. There is a criticism that is really popular for people to use against AEW, and that is that they are just a bunch of WWE cast-offs. They would be nothing without WWE guys, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. This last week on Dynamite, they went out of their way to give a big middle finger to that criticism. The Dynamite this last week, Jungle Boy added another banger to his resume with Adam Cole. Dante Martin and Lee Johnson both showed out. The Dark Order, who's entirely comprised of people that we had not heard of prior to Dynamite, had a huge segment with Amanda Huber. The Men of the Year had a fantastic promo. Penelope Ford and the Bunny had a great match with TJ. MJF, featuring Wardlow, God's Perfect Creation, had an awesome promo with Darby Allin. Sammy Guevara was crowned the new TNT champion. All of that was a very intentional. How colorful do we get on this show?
As colorful as you like.
That was a big blow me to the critics from Tony Khan, and I loved it.
Now, this is perfect for an audio podcast. For the last minute or so, Matt has been very rude. He's got a book out that he's pretending to read as soon as he heard AEW mentioned. So, Matt, I'm going to let you go first so you can put your book down. Because it's like being back in school right here. Put your book down. Let's focus on the task in hand. People being hypocritical about AEW, Matt, right?
To be fair, AEW has improved over the last few weeks, but it's got nothing to do at all with the GOAT or with the idiot from Chicago.
Whoa. Idiot from Chicago. I noticed last week that you refused to use his working name. Where does that come from?
Well, because his name is Phil.
I genuinely
mean it. I think he's the most overrated wrestler I have ever seen, and that includes Hulk Hogan.
I will give you that his in-ring work is not on the level of like a Bret Hart or some of the best of the best of the best, which is how he's regarded. But as an overall performer, I think he's positioned where he belongs.
His position should be curtain jerker. I don't like the man. I don't think he adds anything to the company. The fact is, and I'm going to get to the bad cop.
Wow.
Actually, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get to the bad cop.
Wow. I can't believe you don't think he adds anything to the company. So it doesn't add merch sales. It doesn't add interest on the product. Now, I'm just curious because I want to see if you're going to double down on what you did last week.
I'm going to, but in bad cop.
In later. Okay, all right, fair enough. I did want to pick up on one point, which I didn't actually realize, and I guess I kind of forgot about it because I don't pay for the pay-per-views. You talked about last week that they should have saved that match for the pay-per-view. Of course, AEW only does pay-per-views every 3 months, so they also, in between those, they still have to put on those big matches to keep momentum ticking over. So
if they're charging $60 a time, yeah, I can see why they do it every 3 months.
Fans got to save up.
If Tony Khan's got all his money, why does he need to charge that sort of money for a pay-per-view?
I think, and it's better than Impact's pay-per-views.
I gladly give him my $60. He earns it from me every time.
And yet in the UK, we have to pay £15, which is $20. Why do we get it cheaper than you guys?
Because I get to watch it at a reasonable time, I'm guessing.
We have to start the fight to the Fight TV app to get it still. We can't get anywhere over here.
Are you watching it at like 4 in the morning?
1 in the morning?
Yeah, well, that's the start time, admittedly, but by the time you finish it.
Wrestling fans, if a wrestling fan wants to watch a pay-per-view in the UK, they'll get up to watch it. They're not bored about the time it's on.
All right, the reason it's cheaper is the same reason that if you want to watch your English Premier League soccer, in England, that's obviously going to be expensive on the Sky package, whereas I can watch it on Peacock for, not every game, admittedly, but I can pay $5 a month, I can watch all the wrestling, and I can actually get those games as well. So it's location, it's in a different location, that's the obvious reason why it's cheaper. It's not because it's a different product, it's just, it's not in the country of origin, that's why. Mm. Matt, what about your good cop moment of the week? I think we can start to get a little negative there. Let's bring it back again. Give me your good cop moment of the week.
My good cop moment of the week.
He's gone to his phone for the benefit of the podcast.
This is going to be...
Please tell me it's not a picture you're going to show us.
I've got to admit my good cop moment with a few and far between this week. But the main one I'm going for... is during SmackDown this week, which was obviously last night if you're listening to this advert going out. We're recording on Saturday, obviously. The work between Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, and the Usos.
Mm.
Un-fucking believable.
Mm.
I don't drop the F-bomb very often, Graham. In good cop. In good cop.
Oh, in good cop. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In good cop. But, I mean, Lesnar dropping, like, saying, like, thanks, my good friend Paul Heyman. Just sowing those seeds in that paranoid champion's head. And Roman acting as the paranoid champion. He's acting like a... that is a bit like Austin did when he was leader of Alliance in 2001. Paranoid that everyone was against him, sort of thing. It's playing like a different version of that. It's like this soft-spoken version rather than this screaming in the face all the time. But it reminded me very much of it, and it made me feel very comfortable. Seeing Roman and Brock dynamic but reversed, it's so refreshing to see. What are you doing?
Trying to distract you. Jackson left a wrestling figure on the floor.
Fair. Well, in any case, Graham, the Usos didn't even say anything in any of it in the bits, but it's all of the action they did around Roman, it was just brilliant. I love how Roman was like, "You're the wise man when I say you're the wise man." It just acknowledge me. It's just so softly spoken, and it's the best thing in the men's division in WWE at the moment. Other people may disagree with me on that side of things, but for me, my best moment of the week is the fact of Roman basically said to Usos, "If you don't get drafted to SmackDown, abandon him, leave him to Lesnar," basically on Raw. Newsflash for you, Roman. Last time to screw Paul Heyman like that, last time Heyman got involved in something, he got Kane on top of a Hell in a Cell. So yeah, have to wait and see on that side of things.
I totally agree with you that. The whole Roman bloodline, Usos, Brock, Paul Heyman saga is phenomenal. And on last night's episode, that scene that you're talking about where Roman is trying his hardest to keep his cool, and Paul Heyman knows that if this man does not keep his cool, it's very bad news for everyone within a mile radius of him. And the whole, like, Paul Heyman is acting out Stockholm syndrome without saying anything. He's just doing it with his face. He's telling you that he's painted into a corner between these two massive behemoths and that he's screwed no matter what. And basically what they told you was that the Usos are not going to get drafted to SmackDown and then all hell is going to break loose when that takes place. It was so good.
I'm living for it. I'm absolutely living for it.
I only saw the highlights, so you know when you watch highlights, you get broken bits. But there was enough in the segment that I saw to see the fact that you could see Paul Heyman did a great job of the acting part of it. Like, you could see that he was nervous. You could see Roman was calm, like you said. And then the moment he exploded, like, the reaction from Paul Heyman was great. I didn't actually see the storyline fully developed. I don't think the Usos have been drafted yet, have they? What I can remember. Okay, so we're still waiting on that story. So I'm kind of surprised that got pushed into... Yeah, I would have thought that would have been better done on the SmackDown story, because now it's going to happen on Raw, but then Roman Reigns is not going to be there, so, hey.
Roman will still be there. Roman probably won't be there, because he's been drafted already, but largely they had people who are going to be there. I mean, the Raw Women's Champion has been drafted to SmackDown, which means we know Charlotte's losing the title on Raw this week. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who the hell too, but
I just realised I probably should have steered away from a certain point, because I might be cutting my own nose off to spite my face, and I might be ruining some of my future moments that I want to talk about. So if you don't mind, Matt, I'm going to go straight into my good cop moment,
which
was originally going to be something that our good friend Micah alerted me to, and that was the fact that Trish Adora had signed for Ring of Honor. Now, when I was trying to look this up, I actually saw a couple of things. I went to the Ring of Honor website, and I saw that Roxy had her first defense of the women's title, and I saw that, and I had Trish Adora always ready. Anyway, I looked on IWTV last night. I wasn't interested in watching any mainstream wrestling, because I was like, I'm going to leave that to you gentlemen. So I went straight to my indie wrestling to see what I could actually find. And one of the first things that came up was an organization I wasn't actually familiar with at all. In fact, I'm just scrolling so I can find the name of this organization. I believe it's there we go. New Texas Pro Wrestling. So this was from the previous Saturday. So this is Saturday the 25th. And as I was looking through the matches, the very last one was Killer Kelly versus the Texas Pro Champion and Ring of Honor Champion Roxy. I was like, oh, okay, that must be the one they talked about. So I was like, well, perhaps I can do a Ring of Honor theme. So I started to watch this. Oh my goodness, those women put on a fantastic show. The crowd was totally in for it, and thankfully it wasn't one. Sometimes we know when the men's have the big matches and then the women's match, yeah, you get that little filler in between for 5 to 10 minutes, and then you get back to the men's matches. This was the main event, and they probably got a good 20, 25, 30 minutes, and oh, it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. Now, I wasn't that familiar with Roxy, which is why I wanted to watch it. Like, I knew she was the Ring of Honor champion. I didn't realize she's only 19. That's probably why I'm not familiar with her. She's probably not been on the scene for very long. I'm going to guess she's been on the indies for probably the last 2 or 3 years or so. Some of the people she managed to usurp in terms of the card, Stallion Rogers I saw, and I was like, that's got to be Kurt Stallion, right, from NXT, or formerly from NXT. Yep, I think that was one of the first matches. That was for the New Texas Pro Championship. That's the men's championship. AJ Gray, well known on the indies, same thing. Fuego del Sol from AEW was one of the other matches as well. Cole Radrick, well known from the indies as well. Gino Medina from MLW. And with all those people that they had on there, good card, really good card, they still managed to main event. And that was kind of where I was about to leave it. I was going to do a little bit of research onto Roxy, and that was going to be my moment, until I saw one quote. Somebody asked New Texas Pro Championship, what has been your favorite match this year? And somebody actually said, that Fuego del Sol match that I mentioned earlier against Mysterious Q, they said it was amazing. So I went back and watched that. Oh my goodness. 30 minutes, middle of the card, two luchadors continually going at each other, high flying moves, things that you've not seen before, high action, crowds loving it. New Texas Pro Wrestling is my good cop moment of the week. It was totally unexpected. You managed to push Trish Adora moving to Ring of Honor further down the line. Yes, a couple of good matches that I really enjoyed on there, and some big names on there that I managed to pass over just so I could get to those matches.
It's really interesting that you mentioned that. So I had said earlier I moved to another state. The state I moved to is Texas.
Ah.
And the like I said, the only thing I've really got to lean on here is wrestling. So I thought let me look up what the indie wrestling scene is like here. And to be honest with you, it is booming so hard that I can't possibly keep up. I tried to follow a bunch of companies on Twitter, and I can't really decipher one from another just yet. But I do know that New Texas has been killing it, and I see little clips of Fuego matches and little clips of I think Yuta Wheeler comes through here. This area is booming when it comes to indie wrestling.
Yeah, certainly on a Mission Pro Wrestling we've talked about multiple times on this mm-hmm. show. I never remember exactly. Obviously, Texas is a huge state compared to England. It's just ridiculously big. But yeah, there's a lot of different people coming through there. I'm trying to think. I think the Independent Expo, I think, have also been through Texas a few times as well. But yeah, periodically I will see them. But yeah, there's a lot of good wrestling coming out from there. But yeah, Texas, this new Texas one was one I wasn't familiar with. And boy, am I glad I just kind of casually was like, sure, let me go take a look at this match.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Graham.
Yeah, I know it doesn't give much for comments for other people, but hey.
I can't really add much to it, unfortunately. I'd like to, but I can't really add much to it, unfortunately. apart from the fact that I'll probably get a chance to check it out at some point.
Strongly recommended. Strongly recommended. All right, time for that speed check. If there is anything else that we thought was positive, we have up to a minute to talk about that. John,
is that Sage in front of me there, Mr. Graham?
Oh, you noticed the change in my inclination there. Yes, that was, yes. Last week I gave you a little bit more leniency. I did forget to time your bad cop speed check, man. I'm sure it was like 5 minutes. It was ridiculous, but hey.
Shut up, let our guest talk.
Thankfully, we got a guest this week, so we don't have to put up with your over-exuberance with the speed check.
You see it back over here? Whenever you're ready, John, take it away. Up to 1 minute.
Armed Anderson, the newest Dark Side of the Ring episode, Lumber Brock, the American Dragon returning versus Nick Jackson. I've been booking that match on video games for years. Seth Rollins being the world's biggest creep inside Edge's house, Edge not recognizing the front of his own house, and Edge calling FTR to come help with the creep Seth Rollins in his house.
See, I thought that was what I remember seeing that Edge documentary before, and I was like, surely that's FTR he's just mentioned. I was like, but they're on AEW, would they really allow that? Okay, so I didn't miss that then. Okay. Wow.
It felt strange to me. I think he snuck that one through. I think he got one by the goalie on that one.
Yeah. Vince wouldn't get the reference, I'm sure.
He doesn't know their names.
Well, they changed their names as well, and I don't know. I can't remember exactly what they said, but yes. Matt, what you got for us?
Right, okay, Graham. I have got for you Pat McAfee marking out over Roman Reigns is staying on SmackDown. He's back on form this week. Literally, I've never seen a man get that excited with his clothes on. Sonya Deville's facial expressions whilst Naomi was being drafted to SmackDown, she was selling this angle without saying anything, even though she did mention briefly that she had nothing to do with Naomi being drafted, but we want to see that match for sure. The cheering for Jeff Hardy when he was drafted to SmackDown was amazing as well. Pleasantly surprised with how good Extreme Rules was in general, even though Extreme Rules didn't have any Extreme Rules matches apart from the main event. Finn Balor magic carping around was quite impressive as well. It adds a little bit to the character of the demon.
Mm-hmm. I did like that part of the day. I had to watch the end of Extreme Rules the following day. I couldn't stay up that late. I had work very early the next day, but I caught the end. I woke up a little early, so I just caught it then. And I thought that would definitely get your attention. Before I do my good cop moments, there's something I would like to do, but I can't actually read this. So guys, I am going to try. Oh, you might have some editing here, Matt. Sorry. It's working. In chat, I am posting something. I'm curious if you guys can pronounce this. You guys see it there in chat?
My furniture just started floating.
ideas?
You just sent us a Harry Potter spell.
I can read the third word, obviously.
I would say like a Makalapakalapapo Brown.
Nailed it.
Do you know why I'm picking that as one of my good cop moments?
Oh, please, Macca Packer's real name from In the Night Garden.
No, it was the announcement earlier in the week, and I'd missed it until literally 10 minutes before we came on air. Ronda Rousey gave birth this week. That's her daughter's name.
Matt, congratulations, Ronda.
So I wanted to include it, but I knew I couldn't fit the name in probably within a minute, and I knew I couldn't pronounce it correctly. All right, things I did want to talk about. Thank you to Autosave for saving my moments. I had to restart my computer, and I totally forgot to click save. I thought I'd lost everything last night. I was very frustrated. Mickie James versus Deonna Purrazzo, the build-up to their match at Bound for Glory. I'm not quite happy how Impact are putting their highlights out 4 days after the actual show now, but hey, so I'm a little bit further behind. And KTB, whoo, Kyle the Beast. He had an interview on No Holds Barred Network this week, and the thing that really got my ears pricking up, he's a disc golfer. He is the only wrestler that I know is a disc golfer. And as I was in chat live, I did ask, do you know any other wrestlers who disc golf? And the answer was no. But he has some really cool stamps on his discs of certain wrestlers. I think one of them was Macho Man Randy Savage, but for me, that was... if it wouldn't have been such a short moment, it would have been my main Good Cop moment. I was very excited when I heard that news.
I told you before, Graham, the Godfather is a disc golfer.
Oh, I guess I tend to tune you out now after 163 episodes. I know two then. I know two. Sorry, Matt. Shall we move on? Seems appropriate then. We probably move on to some Bad Cop moments then, right?
Indeed.
All right, I think this section could get a little juicy, particularly as Matt said he was struggling to find anything good this week, but guests get to go first. John, what's your main Bad Cop moment for the week?
I will say that I struggled to find something that I felt so seriously about that I could use, but the thing that I went with was the draft. And I know that that's gonna piss some people off, but... when you start a draft with Roman Reigns is staying on SmackDown, absolutely nothing has changed, and Pat McAfee just drenches his shorts over the fact that nothing has changed, that wouldn't fly. Like, imagine LeBron James getting drafted to the Lakers. No one would care. He's on the Lakers. And then when something good would happen, it was something that had, you know, like Jeff Hardy. Awesome. I love that other people love Jeff Hardy. I do not, but I love that other people do. Jeff Hardy shows up, and the very first thing they do is make him bitch out to Brock Lesnar and back away. Edge gets drafted to Raw. Okay, bye-bye. No, they're not even going to talk about it. None of the effects happen until after Saudi Arabia, yet the week in between is the season premiere. So none of that makes any sense whatsoever. I just think that there's so much potential with doing a draft and that they don't make even the slightest attempt at reaching that potential. I just could not stand watching Pearson DeVille stand there and pretend that they didn't know what was on the cards like you would if you were reading the Oscars, yet they also seemed to be the people making the picks. It was not enjoyable in any way, shape, or form for me.
Matt?
I can see all the points you're making. End quote.
That's it.
All right.
Well, to be fair, he's got some valid points there, Graham. I can't argue with that. Adam Pearce is...
You can add to them if you like them.
Adam Pearce has got all the charisma of a wet lettuce. Sonya Deville needs to be in the ring with a mouthpiece talking for her. Not actually in an authority role. Although the only reason she could be doing that is if she's actually got a legit injury while she's not in the ring, because Sonya Deville is too good to be wasted not in the ring, in my personal opinion. I said I enjoyed Pat McAfee losing his shit, as it were, but at the same time, bearing in mind of who's been drafted to SmackDown, I don't mind Roman staying on SmackDown.
I want Roman on SmackDown. I just don't want it to be a draft pick.
That's fair.
Leave the champions where they are.
True. That is a fair comment, to be fair. That's a fair comment, yeah.
And give me something that actually took place. Roman staying on SmackDown is nothing. I love Pat McAfee losing his shit. Just something has to happen.
I got a few takes from this straight away. How is Happy Corbin going in the second round? Like, that loses all credibility I have for this draft. Like you said, it could be something that's really good. And then as I start to look at it as from a serious point of view, nobody is drafting Happy Corbin as the second pick in the second round. Sorry. Like, if you're one of the, I don't even know where he went because I didn't care about that. I just wrote down which order. Like, whoever paid $1 billion and you pick in the second round and you're picking Happy Corbin, I got some problems with that. Same thing with the Hit Row. I'm not saying they're not going to be successful, but do you really need to pick them in the first pick of the third round? I think you could probably wait a little bit longer on the board and then you'd still be able to get them. Austin Theory? Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why you'd pick somebody that early. And as far as I can tell, but feel free to correct me. As far as I can tell, so far, Bobby Lashley, Becky, and Sasha have not been picked. So people think that Austin Theory is better than all of those three people?
Well, seems a little weird to me. They did the super confusing, only half of the roster is eligible tonight, but they did not tell you which half was eligible.
Part that listening to highlights I would have missed. I did wonder if that, I was like, how could they not pick Becky like ahead of that?
To be fair, Graham, if you had all the big ones go on the first night, why would you bother turning into Raw?
I can, but then it's not really a draft. It's like it's already kind of, I don't know. It just, to me, it doesn't work. I understand what you're saying, though. But no one's watching Raw anyway, so who cares? Oh, sorry, I forgot you're watching 3 hours of Raw.
Everybody who says they don't watch Raw, or at least the highlights of it, watch it, because if they don't watch it, they can't bitch about it.
I like my top 10.
It's that simple. But exactly, that's fine. But people who don't I watch it, crap. If you don't watch it, how do you know it's crap?
Okay, I still think, though, even if it's split in half, I don't think that Austin Theory gets picked in the place that he gets picked. It seems too early. Same with Hit Row, same with Corbin. I find it hard to believe that you would pick those people where you pick them.
Question, then, by that very same token, Finn Balor was the fifth pick overall on the first draft back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He was picked from NXT. He was picked ahead of people like Kofi Kingston, and I think he even went in front of Roman Reigns, actually.
Okay. Finn Balor, is he about 40 years old now? Is that about right?
Finn Balor, when he was drafted, this is 5 years ago, Graham. Okay,
I know. I'm trying to do the math, so he would have been about 35 then, right?
And he was a two-time NXT champion.
Oh, did he have any history in, like, say, New Japan Pro Wrestling or anything like that? Did he have an experience? Did he have like a lot of experience at that point, so people kind of knew who he was, or was he just like an up-and-comer who people weren't quite familiar with at that point? Matt, you there? It's a little different. The people who you're comparing, it's a little different. I think people know who Prince Devitt was at that point, though. Names I just mentioned, but they don't have that same history right now.
Right.
And you can do a simpler thing like with AJ. Oh, look, they brought him up. We never heard of him. Okay, AJ was obviously same thing. Just because he hadn't wrestled at WWE, people knew who AJ was.
AJ Styles didn't go to NXT. AJ Styles went straight to the main roster. That's not the point we're going to, though, Graham, here.
No, it's not. It's not.
What you're trying to do, Graham, is try to piss all over my bonfire.
I'm just trying to point out some of the little flaws in the theory there. But all right, what you got for your bad cop moment then? I have a feeling this is going to be a good one.
No. Before I do, our guest has something to say. So go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just going to add more flaws to the draft, such as I enjoy Hit Row, but if you can draft five people at once, why wouldn't you exclusively draft five people at once? Why wouldn't you just exclusively draft factions? Like the some of the pairings were absurd. And then in addition to that, right before I logged on with you guys, I noticed that Mustafa Ali tweeted his own draft announcement that he is drafted to SmackDown. They didn't announce it. He announced it himself, which to me that subtext says, I wasn't drafted. They don't give a shit. Here it is. He didn't even put a caption on it. He just put the photograph.
They did a few of those last year as well, actually. There were some that weren't included in the show. And then they kind of, on the next show, they mentioned that while we were off air kind of thing, these things happened, which is just seems so strange why you wouldn't use that on the actual show. I'm not saying that Mustafa Ali did that this time, but...
Or at least do it digitally.
Yeah. You can have like an exclusive, you can have some exclusive material for your website. Surely that would be a good thing to get the numbers ticking over and get people checking in. Oh, let's see who else has actually moved. We want to actually know. Hey. All right, Matt.
Well, trying to decide was difficult for this one because, but I'm going to go with CM Punk.
Oh, shocker.
And it's not actually Phil Brooks' fault this week.
Oh, okay.
No, this is, again, AEW fan base. Every single match, every single segment, all they're doing is chanting his name. Why?
Are you asking?
Yes.
Guess they like him?
No. So
still a novelty?
If all they want to see him. They want to see him, but not what's in the ring.
I think AEW learned the lesson this week that if he is at commentary, that it's detrimental to what's happening in the ring. I've been to an AEW show here in Austin, and some what chants started, and it got shut down immediately by the people around them. Like, we don't do that here. And same thing with CM Punk. This is before the rumors had even started. And somebody started to chant CM Punk and it was immediately shut down. Like, don't do that here. And having him present in the building is probably, they're probably going to quit putting him on commentary because of what you're talking about. I agree with you that as soon as I heard that, I hated it. I couldn't stand it because the chant is shorthand for change this. It's shorthand for, we don't like what we're looking at and what we're experiencing, do something better. And that wasn't what was that. I don't agree with that take on what was happening in the ring on that show.
No, what was going on in the ring was absolutely fine. I liked what was happening in the ring, but I kept hearing CM Punk, CM Punk. And that just reminds me of the Raw after WrestleMania, where the crowd is always ridiculous. And they'll chant for any reason. I remember one Big Show came down to interrupt Shane Smith with Randy Orton, which is not most free-flowing of matches, and Big Show knocked them both out, and he was walking out, and the crowd is chanting, thank you, Big Show, thank you, Big Show. And King was on commentary, like, thank you, Big Show? And as he was walking out, they were saying, please retire, please retire. The crowd just reminded me of that. And if he's not in the ring, or he's not on the stick, why are they chanting for him? Because they want to see him and not everyone who's busting a gut in that ring and putting on the best performance they fucking can. They're trying for some guy who's not been in the business for 7 months. 7 months? 7 fucking years! It's making me angry because my personal feelings about Phil Brooks aside, that's my personal feeling. I'm never going to like the man personally. But the fact of the matter is, he's not responsible for that. But all of those, how can I put this in a polite way?
Well, as soon as you drop the F-bomb 5 times, I don't think you need to at this point.
No, because I'm trying to think of a word to replace the word I'm trying not to say, Graham.
Oh, yeah, we don't use that word for sure.
Yeah, idiots. Let's just leave it, idiots. And I'm going to drop the mic before I keep going.
I'm going to back you up a little bit here, Matt, because you would have thought that they probably would have learned from, and the decision that they made, because one of the questions was like, why would you bring CM Punk out right at the start when you first introduce him? And it was for that very reason, that you don't want people chanting CM Punk for the whole show. So you brought him out early. They got their they got exactly what they wanted, and then you carried on with the rest of the show. It seems like that's, to me, it sounds like the perfect booking. Why wouldn't you want to keep doing that? You want that crowd hyped up at the start. Bring CM Punk out right at the start, get him to do a promo, get him to do a short match, get him to do whatever you want. But I think, like you said, you don't want to be putting him on commentary where you can still see him as a peripheral figure. Get him to do his bit, the crowd gets what they want, send him to the back, and then you move on. It sounds like the easiest way to give everybody what they want at this point. And you would have thought they would have learned from having done it once already, but it doesn't seem like they have.
Unfortunately, he's great on commentary. But if he is visible, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
That's the WWE sort of got. They've now got what AEW have got now is they've got this extremely hot property, but now it's turning toxic, and it's not his fault, actually. It's turning toxic because the fans don't know when to shut this and open these. Mm-hmm. Graham, what's your backup moment of the week? I'm guessing it's going to be hard to follow that.
I kind of mentioned earlier because I was like, I'm going to have to stop or else I'm going to shoot myself in the foot a little bit. I want to talk about the draft as well. I figured it might get brought up, so I wanted to look at something slightly different. Now, normally when we do our moments, it's kind of like we talk for a few minutes and then at the end you guys chip in. I kind of want to do the opposite. I'm kind of wanting you guys to chip in at different points for this one. Kind of what I wanted to do was I was kind of curious about how did the draft pan out from last year? What can we actually figure from this? So obviously all these moves we already know about, and we're kind of curious to see what happens. What if we look back to what happened last year? So it was a little different last year, unfortunately, because they had 5 picks in each round, and this year I believe they only had 4 picks. It went Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw. I believe that's how it went last year, because they have a 3-hour show and SmackDown only has 2. This year they only went 2 and 2, which to me made sense. I can't imagine whoever is getting the Fox would be happy if the other organization gets 3 picks for every 2 picks they get when they both paid basically the same amount of money. So let me go through night one. Round one was Drew, Reigns, Oscar, Seth, and the Hurt Business. You mentioned earlier, if you can get 5 people with 1 pick, I think the Hurt Business was 4 people at that point, but you could see why you would pick somebody like that. Second round, AJ, Sasha, Naomi, Bianca, Nia, and Shayna. Third round, Ricochet, Jey Uso, Mandy Rose, The Mysterios, and Miz and Morrison. Fourth round, Kofi and Xavier, separately from the Big E at that point for the first time. Dana Brooke, Otis, Angel Garza. And let me stop there, actually. Let me stop after 4 rounds. A few things that were interesting to me. Oscar was the 3rd pick. Now, I'm not sure if she was injured, and perhaps you can help me on that, but she didn't do much in this last year, to be honest. Naomi was in the 2nd round, and you could kind of say the same thing as well. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, I know they were tag team champions for a while, but I'm sure there was better people you could have picked ahead of that as well. Ricochet, once again, didn't really do much. Mandy Rose has gone to NXT. Dana Brooke in the 4th round really surprises me. Angel Garza, is he even appearing on anything except for main event? Like, he's not really. It's a wrestler I like, but I don't think he's being used particularly much. And Otis, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder what you thought of the first 4 rounds. When I look at that, if you're looking on the same one and thinking, oh, if they got picked early, they're going to have a big year. I'm looking for what happened last year. I don't think that's going to happen. It just seems so strange how they do their booking.
It feels to me like when they do these drafts, or when they used to do shakeups, it made more sense because it was called a shakeup and not a draft.
Yeah.
When I think draft, I think traditional American stick and ball sports. You select the very best, and then as it goes down, they get a little less prestigious, or whatever word you want to use. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When WWE does it, it's a mixture of, we're picking this person first because they're fantastic. And then we're going to pick this other person as a, not a promise, but as a ticket that says we intend to put more effort into this person now, right? Like, you pick Ricochet because the company is telling you now Ricochet matters, which also tells you he didn't matter yesterday. But when you go back and look, like you're doing right now, and you go, well, he doesn't matter to them. He didn't matter. So then how can I care about this year's draft?
Exactly.
Because Austin Theory isn't going to do diddly shit on SmackDown or Raw, or wherever the hell he ended up. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee it. Mm-hmm. It's just not. So I'm interested that you brought that up, because the results from last year tell me that there's no reason to care about this year.
Then that's what I was kind of curious about as well. So that's why I took a slightly different slant. Let me read the fifth round out for you. Umberto Carrillo, Murphy, Drew Gulak, Kalisto, and Tucker. Yikes.
Three of them are gone.
Exactly. Like I say, and I love Umberto Carrillo, as you well know. But when you look at that, it kind of this is the last line. It kind of makes you look at the other last line and make you think, well, it doesn't mean anything, does it? Like, not one of those had anything really happened major in the last year. Now, as you said, night two, actually, as I'm looking at this, I can see that, yes, they definitely split this draft in half. So on night two, then the first round, first pick, Bray Wyatt, Bailey, Randy Orton, Street Profits, and Charlotte Flair. Second round, Braun Strowman, Daniel Bryan, KO, Riddle, and Jeff Hardy. So Jeff Hardy's got kind of picked kind of high on both of these, to be honest. Third round, Retribution, Lars Sullivan, Keith Lee, King Corbin. So they obviously promoted him. So after a year of, I don't know, I don't think he deserves to go in that round, and Alexa Bliss. Fourth round, Elias, Sami Zayn, Lacey Evans, Cesaro, Nakamura. I guess I'd forgot they were even a tag team. Sheamus. Fifth round, Nikki Cross, Ziggler and Rude, R-Truth, Apollo Crews. And I'm not very good with names, I have to admit. Dabba Kato or Dabba Kato. I looked at that and I was like, I don't even know who that is. I had to look it up.
He's Commander Aziz now.
Correct, he is. And I did not remember that at all. I didn't remember the name change. And last round for this one, which I think is the interesting one, Titus, Carmella, Peyton Royce, Aleister Black, and Akira Tozawa. So I
half
think
of
the
people
fighting
on a night two aren't there anymore.
So out of this is the sixth round of night two, and yeah. You can. So was it that big of a surprise that Aleister Black got left in the end? Or would I want to leave? No, not really, if that's kind of where you're putting him. Now, there is a follow-up to this I'm going to do, actually, in my speed check. When I get to the speed check, just so I'm going to buy a few seconds right now, I am going to list all the people that were undrafted, and I'm going to see what we think about what happened in that. But for right now, I'm going to draw a line on it, unless there's anything you guys picked up from night two there.
Well,
I find that comedy. That list of names is comedy.
It is. This time last year, some of those names at the top were absolute gold dust, and they were amazing talents.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them have left the company, and half of them have not signed to anybody at all. Even the no complete calls have gone.
I found it really interesting that some of the big, like obviously Bray Wyatt was the number one pick there, but Braun Strowman was the first pick in the second round as well, and then that. Mm. It just goes to show that we just don't, it doesn't mean anything this draft at all. Like, looking from a year back, it just does look, it looks horrible. Now, obviously, some of those people got injured. Bailey obviously got injured. There's nothing you can do about that.
Well, in addition to the results of the names not meaning anything, these people aren't going to remain on their respective shows. They're going to crisscross shows, and the brand split won't mean anything either. And then in addition to that, you've got Survivor Series coming up. So for this year, you've got people who won't put on their red or blue t-shirt until October 22nd. And then somewhere in November, they're going to be diehard members of their roster.
A prime example you make there, of course, is that today there was a match made for Crown Jewel between Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bianca's already been drafted to Raw.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we know Bianca's not winning it.
Yeah.
Unless she is going to win it, and then her and Charlotte's going to hand her belts, like what happened last time. And then Charlotte will get an automatic extra championship.
Oh, no. Yes, yeah.
But I haven't had a chance to jump in because you were talking about Asuka a minute ago.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that since she was, quote, drafted to Raw as the Raw Women's Champion at the time, she did also win the Raw. She also won the Women's Tag Team Championship with Charlotte in that time. And she had been missing since Money in the Bank because she actually had a surgery on her rotator cuff after getting injured in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So that's why she's not been around since July.
Okay, all right.
So in fairness, she's recovering from a painful injury. Let's put it that way. I've not had damage from my rotator cuff, but my friend has, and it was like seeing a chunk of bone sticking out of his shoulder. It was not pleasant. It was not pleasant at all. So we can forgive her not being around for the last 3 or 4 months, I think.
That's fair enough. And that's what I wondered. And when I do finally get to reading out my list, a lot of the people who went undrafted was for the reason that they were actually injured, which is fair enough. You're not going to pick a high draft pick on somebody who's not going to be wrestling for the next 6 months. So that will explain some of that as well. All right. Shall we move on to our speed check then? If there's an extra minute, if there's anything bad that we want to talk about. Matt, you've got some great editing coming up. On your moment, you're doing some very dramatic pauses, which you're going to think are gaps in the segments. But hey, that's your problem this week. John, whenever you are ready, you can take it away, sir.
The treatment of the demon Finn Balor I thought was atrocious. The HFO and anything involving Matt Hardy on AEW, basically dragging down Orange Cassidy, who should be a monster star by this point. Unextreme Rules, not the show, just the fact that there weren't really anything extreme, and then Raw was extreme the next day. And then anything that is preceding the words Saudi Arabia.
I watched Rampage. I saw the Orange Cassidy match. I think it was my least favorite Orange Cassidy match from what I've seen so far. Matt, what you got for us?
Okay, Arn Anderson promoting gun violence. Seriously, that got past the censors? How the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
The crowd asking for Shayna Baszler to do the elbow stomp on Eva Marie a second time? Are you really that hating on Eva Marie? Seriously? The booing for New Day being split up again already? Unbelievably toxic booing. Hit Row going to SmackDown. I'm not sure that's a good move to follow up on what both Graham and John was saying. And my last one here is Naomi's career highlights when she was drafted to SmackDown. Ignore her winning the title at WrestleMania. They talk about her cheerleading and the signature move, not her impressive split-legged moonsault. The fucking rear view.
Hmm. Wow, I didn't know WWE would use the F word in one of their signature moves, but hey. Huh.
They're edgy now.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. All right.
You get what I'm saying, though, yeah?
I got exactly Absolutely. What you're saying. I'm just messing around with
that,
you.
That moonsault of hers is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The rear view belongs in the Attitude Era and not in a good way.
All right, so I'm going to, for my minute, I'm just going to read through the people that didn't get drafted a year ago. Retaliation, which is Mercedes Martinez, Shorty G, Lucha House Party. Why did somebody just draft Kalisto when you could have just drafted the whole Lucha House Party? Terrible moment. Billy Kay, Eric, Tamina, who went on to be the tag team champion. Zelina Vega, released and then returned. Jimmy Uso, Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake, the Forgotten Sons. Jackson Ryker, who I believe is still there. Sonya Deville, Mickey James, Big Show, Jinder Mahal, Andrade, Ivar, Maurice, Bo Dallas, and Mojo Rawley. It could be the writing on the wall if there are going to be more cuts coming. There was a lot of those names that I mentioned there who are not part of WWE anymore. So admittedly, some people were injured as I went through that list as well. Sonya Deville was inactive. Jey Uso was inactive. Sorry, Jimmy Uso was inactive. And I think there was one more that was there. But yeah.
Imagine looking at some of those people walking through your locker room and thinking nothing of them. Like, mm-hmm. You have Andrade and Aleister Black are just, spend every day standing next to them and you're going, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of, I'm glad I decided to do it. I didn't have an obvious bad cop moment for this week because I hadn't watched much wrestling, but I was kind of interested. The thing with Jinder Mahal, with Happy Corbin being drafted, first of all, it just was like, no, come on. That was why I had to go and look to see how last year's panned out. But hey. All right, Matt, I believe it's time for some fan cop moments.
Indeed, it is, Graham.
Good! Bad!
All right, time for fan cop moment. You're shaking your head. I had to look for a very specific one because, Matt, once again, we totally goofed. I don't know how this happens each week. We totally missed High Five Tom's moments from last week, so I had to go look for those specifically. His great cop moment was Tommaso Ciampa becoming the NXT and, more importantly, the face to put over the new talent. And he said no bad cop moments for last week. That's always good when that happens. What about this week, though, Matt? We'll start then with JC at Jeremy in Time 721. Best cop moment, Sammy Guevara wins the TNT title. The entire Dark Order match was awesomely produced, and Priest versus Sheamus was great again. And the worst cop moment, not getting a conclusion to Seth leaving Edge's fridge door open after invading the home.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
So funny. That segment was killing me. His orgasmic response to the comfortable chair with the fireplace killed me.
You're not wrong on that one. I do like that. I do like that.
Have you found it yet?
Mocking his kid's art. He went down on his kid's art.
Why would you do that? Oh, you're here, I know that, but why would you do that? Come on. I'm going to go with at UTT Rob Gret. We'll go with him. Good cop moment. MLW being back and Minder getting back-to-back wins against AEW in the war, even though AEW have wheeled out the big guns. Minder, by the way, is a UK crime drama that was last shown live, as it were, in the 1990s. It's getting repeat, it gets more viewers than AEW in the UK.
90s? Oof, I thought it was 80s. Well, that's even more impressive, man.
Yeah. Bad cop moment. Arn Anderson going full Marty Jannetty on Dynamite.
As you said in your moments as well. Yeah. At Just In Time 211, best cop moment, Monday Night Raw finding a nice 2-week streak of being really good. And worst cop moment, honestly, I got nothing. Hey, we're always happy when you didn't manage to find anything bad at all.
At Dying Format, Michael Pellegrini, a good friend of the show and always up for the coalition. Good cop moment, Nick Jackson versus Bryan Danielson. Bad cop moment, Extreme Rules main event ending.
I would recommend as a bonus good cop moment, go check out his episode of In Kayfabe that he did this week. It came out yesterday as we're recording with Mags, Podfather Mags. Definitely worth checking out. Matt, I know we both appeared on that show as well. Very original. Nothing really like it on any other show, so go check that out.
Two of my favorite people in all of podcasting, yes, on the same show together. It's shameless.
Yep. Nish Guy, the OG Blade Job show host. Best cop, Extreme Rules was a pretty solid pay-per-view from top to bottom. Bad cop, it was in no way extreme in any way. Hashtag we want thumbtacks. I don't think you're getting those anymore.
One day, you never know, Greg. You never know one day.
Awesome.
At Brainbuster Boys, Brett and Beaumont. Love you, boys. Good cop moment, Zack Sabre Jr. and Jeff Cobb's G1 Classic Dominance. It was amazing. Bad cop moment, whatever the heck this Greg Goldman hour nonsense is, and Prince Fergal DeWitt and his beautiful abs being forced to flop around like Magikarp and Pokemon. Now, Magikarp.
Oh gosh, here you go, Justin. This is just for you.
Greg. Magikarp, Graham, I'm going to make it real simple in one sentence for you, okay? Basically, Magikarp is... best thing equivalent would be starting as Husky Harris and becoming the Fiend.
Got you. I do understand that Pokemon evolve. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah, I know, but Magikarp is literally a fish that literally just literally flaps on its side because it can't do nothing apart from splash.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
It's useless. And Husky Harris was not the best. The Fiend, amazing. And so is Gyarados, which is what Magikarp evolves from. And Greg, you should tune in to Game Jockey sometime. You'd learn a thing or two.
Justin, I hope you're happy. He said he could do it in one sentence, and he went to a whole paragraph. At Heel Cherry Jerry, best cop was Sammy Guevara winning the TNT Championship, and the worst cop was Finn Balor was screwed at Extreme Rules. Yes, he was. Just anything to make Anything to make Roman Reigns look better. Can he? He's good enough as he is right now. He's been champion for over a year. He doesn't need putting over anymore. But hey, all right. Any others, Matt?
I wouldn't mind. I'm not saying the last bit about. Never mind. Okay, at Dan Griffin 21 on Twitter, also from a guest on his show. My good comment in terms of what's aired in the UK, all come from this week's Dynamite. Omega Danielson was great, as was Baker Soho, but the best cut for me was Sting. The scene performance of the top level is aged, and being so over, it just puts a big smile on his face. Absolutely, he's a fantastic singer. And his band, The Police, was just as good. If you're talking about the paint, the wall painted up has been, then he shouldn't be anywhere near a ring, in my opinion.
I'm sure if Dan had posted a day later, his good cop moment would have been the Marmite flavored beers that he just managed to pick up from his local store. I saw that come just before I came on air. Wrestling by Waldridge, that was our guest host from a couple of weeks ago, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Best cop moment, Serena Deeb announced to return to action next week. And yes. Worst cop moment, not too sure this week. Oh, I like it. We had some difficulty finding bad cop moments. Yeah, what a time to be a wrestling fan right now.
I've got to admit, I need to echo what a few people have said this week about Sammy Guevara. He's very, very good in the ring, and he deserves to be the face of the TNT Championship. I wish it was called something a bit better than a TNT Championship, but his abs could rival Finn's.
Oh, we might be having a new name coming up in the next. We've had 160 plus episodes of Finn. It'd be nice to get a new name in there just for a bit of variety. Thank
Finn
you.
Finn versus Sammy. I'd be lost in that one, Graham.
While you're thinking about that, thank you to everybody who once again responded. We'll put out a tweet again probably Thursday or Friday next week, and you can share your good cop moments and bad cop moments for us to read out as well.
And share your fan fiction about Sammy and Finn to me separately at the Mattack UK.
Yes, do not send that to at Good Bad Wrestle, please.
Good! Bad!
He made himself laugh. This better...
I mean, if they get sent to me, I'll take a look, but...
I mean, let's face it, they are the good China, for sure. They are the good China. Right, okay.
If that doesn't make the cut for this week's episode, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Absolutely.
Bad.
You might need to mute yourself, Matt, while we do this next segment, because I can still see that you tickled yourself something rotten there. This is the segment where we break the show down. We do something a little bit different. We give our guests the opportunity to talk about something different, or they can continue with the wrestling talk if they like. Open agenda time. John, the floor is all yours.
Are you guys into Marvel?
I'll watch it.
Have you been watching What If?
Yes! Every week!
What If is maybe the most incredible animated thing I've seen in decades. I'm a big fan of hand-drawn animation. I'm a big Marvel nerd. I've made somebody read for the second time on this show. Wow, what an honor. I've never been too interested in CGI animation. I mean, the stories can be great, but the animation does nothing for me. So for Marvel to basically pick up hand-drawn animation where Disney left off 25 years ago, whatever it was, and to tell this story that ties into the proper MCU, I am nerding out so hard for What If right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And they're only half an hour long, so they're not incredibly... And they're all self-contained. Well, they were to this last week anyway.
Brilliant. Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah. So unbelievably high-level skill stuff. No one else could do this but them.
No, absolutely. With a money of Disney behind Marvel, because let's not forget that Disney bought Marvel when Marvel was going out of business. Disney pumped that sort of money into Marvel, and wow, now let's face it, it's paid itself back so many times over. You've got your hand up, Graham.
I have not got my hand up, no. I would find the show, though, if somebody was interested in watching, perhaps.
You can find it on Disney Plus, Graham.
I have that. That's good to know.
It would be very... There are some very fun episodes. There's a few dark episodes as well, though.
Is this season one right now?
Yeah.
Season one.
Yes. So What If is basically posing the question of what if. For instance, what if Thor was an only child and never had to be humble, and he was still a frat boy douchebag? What would happen to the entire universe if that took place? So each episode answers one of those types of questions. And it's everything. It'll make you feel any and every emotion.
To put it in the con, and the first episode they did was a brilliant episode, I thought. Was what if Captain America was a woman? Basically. And it was brilliantly done, I thought. That's not a spoiler. But literally the title is what if it was Agent Carter instead of Captain America? It's phenomenal. Phenomenal work they've done for it. And they'd already greenlit season two before season one had finished.
Yes. Wow.
Before season one had even finished being finished, as it were. It hadn't even aired and season two was greenlit. They knew they were onto something here. This is literally probably the biggest pop culture revelation in 20 years.
Rating?
As in for children, do not let Jackson watch it. Mason would probably be all right.
If a kid was okay with watching the movies, then they'd probably be okay with this. It's the same level of violence, same level of...
They handle the same themes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
They handle the same themes, for sure. There is one which is really, really dark. And it does make you feel like you... I actually felt a little empty inside after watching it. Like, oh.
Ooh.
But... to be fair, that's how it was meant to make you feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes the good guys don't always win.
And it's likely to pay off later.
Yes. Cool. And of course, it does give... It's the last... In What If, it's the last ever acting credit for the late Chadwick Boseman as well.
Mm.
So he has he's in multiple episodes, and... It's nice that he gets to have a farewell playing his most iconic character, T'Challa.
I got to give a bonus bad cop moment. You already know this, Matt, but Mason will be watching that show this weekend for sure. He's lost his electronics again just as we were about to record your episode that we wanted to do with you. I'm getting flashbacks of 3 years ago. So there will be no MGB Wrestling podcast this week. I have an hiatus episode, as you well know, but I'm not putting anything out. I'm saving that for... Why should I do extra work on weeks when he's not doing what he's supposed to do? So no MGB this week, but we will hopefully be returning the following week.
Well, I'll say, Graham, that next week is the season finale of season one, and that will be episode 9, and it's out on Wednesday. I believe it is at midnight Pacific time.
That's correct.
Okay.
Midnight Pacific. It would be, it's 8 a.m. UK time, so.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I hate to call you out on your mouth. Oh, actually, hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Darn it. You got me on a math question.
I went to California Graham. Public school, so I got nothing to add to this conversation.
Graham, I know it's very simple. For WrestleMania, it starts at midnight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right.
It was drilled into me as a child by Michael Cohen Taz.
All right. Shall we move on to the Devil's Advocate round?
If it went ready to go, let's do it.
Good. All right. The highlight of the show, Matt. We're not doing pre-recorded, so go ahead. Give your weekly spiel.
The Devil's Advocate round is a round where myself, Graham, and our guest, who is John Stewart, who I generally thought...
Who?
John Stewart? No, not John Stewart.
No.
Yeah, John Sargent.
Now, I didn't mention this in the intro, but I was going to. There is a very famous John Sargent in England. So when our listeners from England listen, they could be very confused at the start, for sure.
I think it was John Stewart. I think, like, well, where is he all of a sudden? Sorry, he didn't screw it. John Cena with some of them. I do apologize, John. I do apologize. I'm sure you've been called worse.
I've heard it so many times. So many times. You are not the first person to do that.
I know, but it's actually on my notes in front of me. I'm so sorry. Well, anyway, John Sargent will be delivering Devil's Advocates to myself and Graham and receiving them vice versa. And these might be wrestling related. Well, at least partially wrestling related to get past Graham's wagging finger, as it were. And of course, if anyone has a problem with what we are saying, because we do not believe in what we are saying, but if you are a snowflake and you have a problem with it, do please take your problems this week to our guest lawyer, who is at TexasGentleman_.
Perfect.
Who wants to go first?
Well, we always offer the guest the choice of receiving or delivering first.
Ah, okay. I'll receive first.
Okay, then you have your choice of assassin, myself or Graham.
I feel like, Matt, I feel like you're going to go harder on me, and I like a challenge. Let's do this.
Oh, okay. I like this.
Have okay,
you got 20 seconds on your timer there, John?
Yeah, I've got a timer.
All right.
Okay, and for 20 seconds then, John, you must defend this statement. Men who cut down trees for a living should be renamed Lumber Brocks in honor of the alpha male of our species.
Brock Lesnar is clearly the alpha male of our species. Anybody with eyes can see that. And his new attire, his new uniform, is now the official uniform of all men who cut down trees who are named Lumber Brocks from here forth.
That was so random, Matt. I thought he stole Mick Foley's shirt, to be honest, when I saw him.
It wasn't random. He was throwing my own tweet back in my face.
Oh, he's been Oh, he didn't have one, so he was doing that. Okay.
He just live quote tweeted me.
I love it, by the way. I absolutely love that. That was brilliant. Right, this is the part where you now return fire to me, sir.
That was so specific, Matt. And I was like, how the heck did he come up with that one? Okay.
All right.
That's it, Graham. I researched my opponents.
NXT clearly going in a younger, edgier, sexier, fresher direction should definitely have the brain trust of Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis and Brother Love.
Absolutely. If you want sex to sell a pay-per-view or even that NXT, you want the man who has appeared on more Muscle Fitness covers than anyone I know, and that's Vincent Kennedy McMahon, damn it. He'll pose like that, and he'll bring his mother up and be like, I'm a genetic jackhammer. And he would.
All right, John, I guess you gotta...
All right, As one of your fans pointed out earlier, Raw is on a streak of one good episode. Raw should definitely move to 4 hours.
Well, of course, that makes obvious sense. If you do that, you can have more advertising. More advertising means more revenue. As a company like that, that's your main aim. You don't care about whether the fans are watching at this point. All you care about is that dollar. That's the bottom line. Vince is not going to live forever, so he wants to make as much money as he can, build the price value up of his shares, sell them to Disney. So a fourth hour will be a perfect opportunity to do that.
Unfortunately, Vince is going to live forever.
We've talked about the genealogy. Like, I think his mom's 100 or something, and he's definitely in good shape. So it is possible that he's still got a few good years left in him for sure. That's without a doubt. All right, John, my returning one for you then is, as the draft wasn't occurring, and sorry, blah, 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 let me start again. I totally messed up my own words for this one. Oh, as the outcome of the draft isn't occurring until after Crown Jewel anyways, to give value for money, the draft picks should have been selected by the Saudi royal family during that pay-per-view.
absolutely everything in wrestling should be chosen by the Saudi royal family. Just think about it. Think of all the great things that have happened in Saudi Arabia. Undertaker almost killing Goldberg. Goldberg almost killing the Undertaker. Goldberg almost killing Goldberg. The Saudi government puts on the most entertaining things that wrestling has to provide, and they always have, and they always will.
Bravo. Bravo.
Very well done, son.
Considering I totally messed up my words when I read it, I was like, that's not what I meant at all. Didn't manage to get my thoughts down on paper correctly again. Oh, well. Matt, I'll give you the choice. Do you want to defend first or receive first?
I'm going to ask our guest to choose who goes first.
Okay.
Graham, let's go first.
Am I reading or am I defending?
Defend.
Okay. All right, Matt, bring it on.
Okay, Graham, for 20 seconds, please defend this statement. In recognition of the WWE draft, we should do our own. And I should swap with Alex from Dungeons & Junkies.
Well, obviously, you need to keep mixing things up. When you get to 163 episodes, it's time to get a little bit repetitive. We have the same in-jokes each week. You've obviously got to mix it up a little bit. So what a perfect way of doing this. We talk about popular culture as well. So somebody who talks about gaming and things like that. Alex is obviously very professional, so I think that would be a perfect swap to try and rejuvenate the show a little bit.
You have not met Alex, have you? I can say that with love. I can say that with love. I'm sharing a hotel with him for 5 nights next week, so it's all good. I can say that with love. I think I didn't go to maths route, Graham, with that, to be brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of maths involved in D&D, I thought you'd like that personally. Yeah, Graham, just to know, we're actually on 164 episodes with D&J this week now.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's...
We are going out twice a week, in fairness.
Uh-huh. Well, so when you record for 4 hours at a time, then, yeah, that would be a lot to digest in one go, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's the way to Halloween, Graham. Alex has done a big special. We had a multiple podcast collaboration. It was fantastic. You were invited, but you lost in the post. It's fine. So what's one for me then, sir?
All right. Yours is Happy Corbin being the 9th pick of the draft.
Happy Corbin being the 9th pick of the draft shows that he's the person they're going to push to be the person who will dethrone Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. If you don't believe me, Graham, the fact they put Riddick Moss with him. Riddick Moss, who is a guy who everyone had completely forgotten he even was on the roster at one point. Corbin will make him good and he'll be the champion this time next week.
Oof. Oh, I forgot it's the devil's advocate. That's kind of fits in line with your normal bets that you have on the wrestling. So I apologize if it wasn't the 9th pick. I don't remember exactly what number it was, but it was so early it was ridiculous.
It was
in the right ballpark. So
can I make a correction? It's
sure.
It's not Riddick Moss anymore. It's Madcap Moss.
It's
and you can
as
tell
ridiculous.
He's wearing suspenders.
It's as ridiculous as Riddick was, to be brutally honest.
I thought it was Mad Cat when I heard it, and I was like, that's stupid. And then I read that it was Mad Cap, and I was like, that's even stupider.
You think that's stupid? That makes Albert the Hip Hop Hippo sound like the most amazing name in the world, doesn't it?
I'm Albert, so pissed off about Braun Breaker.
We've had our discussion about that.
I know.
Well, discussions about that, obviously, and yeah, I definitely agreed that it should, but there might be some kind of like lawsuit about not being able to sign a name on WWE or something like that, or maybe Scott signed a stunk the place up so much he won't be allowed to put it on. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop. Would our guests like to give one more time a chance for everyone to get in touch with their socials and where they can hear your awesome show?
Yeah, thank you. You guys can check me out on Twitter at This Biz Show if you want to check out the podcast. My personal Twitter is GoodBadNHB. You can email the show, thisbizshow@gmail.com. The show drops every Monday pretty much wherever there's podcasts, and that's how you can get a hold of me.
You can even hear on Overcast, Graham.
Even on Overcast, correct, yes. Actually, in all fairness, if you're on Apple Podcasts, Overcast just takes their feed straight from Apple. So although Overcast itself is not well known, that's why I can obviously get most podcasts because most things are on Apple, to be honest.
To be fair, you should, everyone should be on Apple nowadays. It's an easy way of getting hold of things, but that's just me. No, I'm not sponsored by Apple. Right, so
thank you again.
I'm not yet anyway. So thank you to John very, very, very much. Graham, I'm not here next week.
Oh, of course. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
I'm in London. I'm repping for the network in London at the first in-person convention for gamers in 18 months worldwide.
Wow.
So it's quite a big deal. Myself, Alex and Kevin will be pressed there for Game Junkies. We will be checking out anything retro-related there, and I'll give you a full rundown on that when I'm back in 2 weeks' time.
So I will go ahead and announce. So this was when we started the whole guest thing in January, right, the first month. They just joined Visionaries Global Media at that time. They've been nothing but a success since. So the Brainbuster boys, fingers crossed, okay, as of right now, they should be joining me next week.
Brett and Beaumont, keep my feet warm. I want it back the week after. Graham, have a bunch of fun next week, I know you will. John, once again, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege.
Thank you, guys. Sorry for Sid viciousing you last weekend, but I'm thrilled we got to do it this week.
You are
forgiven. It's one of those things that happens, and it's not the first time it's happened either. So, not for you. For other guests, we have had that happen before. So it's just one of those things. All right, Matt, wrap it up.
Absolutely. Thank you again, guys, for listening. On behalf of myself and Graham, we're out of here.
Boom. I noticed Micah stole your We're Out of Here on in kayfabe as well. Don't forget to go check that out, guys.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons. By attribution 3.0 http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/